You so, tell me when.
Actually, Calvin, can you go ahead and just say something for me? Hey, our producer like this because this is what he goes with. What did you have for breakfast?
Sausage biscuit.
Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and our CAM podcast is brought to you by our platinum sponsors, Trueball Excel, Matthews, PSE, Black Eagle, Elite, Hoyt, B3, Hamsky, and Easton. Today with us, we have a special guest fresh off of his first pro win on the ASA tour in known pro, Calvin Gross. Calvin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, man, very excited. Yeah, happy to be here.
So how has that sunk in so far? It's now two, three weeks out. What's the reception been like?
It's been awesome. You know, been shooting for a long time, and this is my third year as a pro. And I made the shoot down in Foley last year, but the reception for the win and kind of the, I guess you could say, attention has been like completely different than anything I've really experienced as an archer. It's been really cool. But you know, when you go back out and you start practicing, you realize, hey, this is still pretty hard. So now I just got to try to do it again sometime. Yeah.
So one of the things that I liked was I was looking through, you know, after the shoot down, after the broadcast had ended, that you're a teacher at Harlan County High School in Harlan County, Kentucky. I saw that the school district shared our video of you winning, which I hadn't seen that before, a school district do that. Yeah. So I'm guessing when you went into school there, it was probably pretty widely known.
It was, and you know, the students were super excited, and as you know, I'm a NASP coach, so as an archery coach, you know, my students, they knew I shot bows, you know, but I'm not one to really talk about what I do, you know, and they were just like, Mr. Gross, what in the world, you know, like, what have you done, you know, but yeah, you know, administration, my principals, and my fellow, you know, they've got my back, and that means a lot, and it was awesome. It was cool to walk in Monday morning and everybody know. Yeah.
I was going to say, so now probably at NASP practice, when you tell the kid, hey, you know, you should probably anchor like this, maybe they'll listen to you a little better now.
Oh, yeah. And I got beat this morning at practice, and they were all just screaming and hooping and hollering because it was, you know, they're like, oh, we beat a pro, you know, and that makes it worth it. It makes it so much more fun.
So let's get to, before we get to the NASP program, because I want to ask you about that, because that blew my mind when I heard a little bit about that. But going back to the tournament. Okay, known pro. I mean, that is I think that's one, probably the most difficult division to win out there. There's an easy 20 of you guys who could win any weekend. I mean, and it's probably even higher for somebody who, you know, catches fire one weekend. But, I mean, that's a deep field. And this year at Foley, that was the most we've ever seen, 106 archers. Tell me what that feels like now, sitting there, you know, sinking in. You know the list out there. You were shooting with Jesse Broadwater, Chance Boboff, Kyle Douglas. I mean, just goes on and on.
Yeah, and you know, as a young guy, and I got to shoot with Jesse on Saturday, which was my good round, and I wasn't going to say anything because it's not cool, you know, to look up to people that you're trying to beat, but we were sitting there, and I think I was eating beef jerky, and I said, Jesse, you know, I've always looked up to you. You know, you're one of my heroes in the game, and, you know, to beat, I'll say Jesse, to beat Jesse, you know, I called my dad and I'm like, dude, you know, I won, but like I shot with Jesse and I beat him today. You know, that's like, and that's not the cool thing to say, you know, I'm supposed to say, oh, I'm great. You know, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about these guys, but you know, I remember my first event, and I guess it was 2 years ago at Foley back to Jesse. It's just funny. I'd never met Jesse until this weekend, but I remember my first event, you know, I was scared. And I told you guys again this weekend, I was nervous and just the preparation of shooting my whole life, and I won out of all the amateur classes to be a pro. You know, I never jumped a class. And my first tournament, I looked to my left, and I seen Jesse, and I looked to my right, and I seen Chance. And I'm like, oh, man. And it was just the first target of the weekend, you know, and I pulled back, and I'm shaking, and I let down. pull back again, and I'm shaking, and I let down, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And but as I've grown and I've met these guys, I realize they don't care. You know, they're just out there trying to win just like I am. But it's still, you know, for me, it's still super cool getting to hang, even just to get to hang out with them, you know, and get to shoot with them, and then occasionally try to beat them. You know, I'm not Jesse. You know, I'm not. But to go out there and just to compete with the best, you know, which is a dream of mine. You know, it's a dream, and it's just, it's cool. And I love every second of it. I love every second of just getting to be out there, even when I'm not winning. You know?
Yeah. So I didn't know that. So you, what did you come in ASA shooting? What division? Where'd you start?
Junior Eagle. So when
Junior
I was five,
Eagle.
Yeah. I started, my dad, he's the one that got me into it. And he, you know, I was five, and I think they had an age limit of six at the time. I don't know, like the minimum age limit was six. And so my dad called Mike Terrell, and I'm sure he'll remember this. This was years ago. I'm 23 now, so 18 years ago. And he's like, my dad wanted to take me to the tournaments. He's like, man, you're good. You know, I can still remember it. And I loved it. I would go out and practice with him every evening. And he said, you know, we need to try to get you there. And there was a tournament in Oak Ridge, Tennessee at the time, years ago. And he called Mike, and Mike's like, well, can he prove to us that, you know, he can compete safely? And so I did, of course. And so I started in Junior Eagle, blah, blah, blah. And we shot from Junior Eagle through Eagle, Senior Eagle, Youth Boys, Young Adult, Open B, K-50, and now.
No, wow.
My dad had a rule for me. He's like, you know, you can't. And we didn't just, you know, to try to shoot a bow professionally, you know, it was expensive. And
yeah,
and you don't have sponsors. Lord, you know, Gold Tip, I've made a Facebook post about this, but Tim Gillingham and Gold Tip, he used to give me little gift certificates. And that was my first sponsor. And, you know, he would give my dad was really good, you know, and he would give my dad arrows. And all those years ago, you know, I started with Gold Tip. But, you know, to go pro at 16 or 17, I just didn't have the ability to do that. You know, I was, first off, wasn't good enough. But second off, you know, that was always my dad's rule. You know, you got to win out. You got to win out. And so for me, it was just like a super, super huge accomplishment when I finally, I remember I won the classic in, I guess it was 2018, to win into Nome Pro. And it was just like, oh, you know, it was a relief because I'm like, finally, you know, I get to go do this.
So that's a good point there, because we see people at all levels of ASA. And I mean, those kids out there that are shooting Junior Eagle one day, here's proof right there where you can end up on the big stage, winning in the biggest, you know, arena out there. But what did that do for you? Your dad's rule, he said, you have to win out. How do you think that helped you develop?
Oh, it was, well, first off, it was tough. You know, when I came out of Young Adult, I was 17. And then we had Open A, Open B, you know, I guess they're called Open 45, whatever now. But I, you know, this is so funny because I'm totally different now. But I'm like, oh, these old guys will stand a chance. You know, I was used to winning,
yeah.
And I remember I went to, I believe we were in Gainesville, Florida. Still, that was the first event, and I shot 21 down my first event in Open A, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And so, you know, you hear you gotta get beat down before you can come up. And I really, you know, I took a beating for a couple of years. I had a really bad stretch, and it's like, man, you know, can I do this? Can I do this? And I actually credit college archery a lot because about that time is when I got a scholarship at Union College. And I hadn't won in a few years. And Cody Kirby recruited me. It's in Barberville. It's an hour away. 1 year prior, I had no clue college archery was even a thing. You know, I wanted to be a pro. I could care less about shooting bow in college, you know. But so I go and I get on campus and I love it. I mean, it's just his office was his bow shop. So I walk in on my recruiting trip and I'm like, whoa, this is sick, you know? And, like I said at the time, I didn't know that was a thing. And so we get acquainted and I go down there and I start classes and we had our first tournament. And I hadn't won a tournament in 3 years coming out of the kids' classes where I had won almost everything, you know? And I just had no confidence in myself. But it's part of the building process because I won our first collegiate regional 3D tournament. I'm like, whoa, you know, I can still do this. And I'm like, man, you know, where'd this guy come from, you know? And then from that, and I'll say from that day forward, that same season, I won a couple college tournaments and started shooting indoor and just competing with my friends there. And that summer I went, you know, of course, to the ASAs and I won Shooter of the Year in Open B. And it's like, it clicked again, you know, and I'm like, man, But it took so much growing for me personally. Now, some guys, you know, some guys can jump in, they can win. They don't have to have, but I'm a hard learner. I'm hard headed. And so I was set in so many facets in my head. I'm like, you know, I can do this. I was just uberly confident with nothing to back it up, you know? And when I started growing a little bit and I got into college, you know, I realized I'm not nearly as good as I thought I was, you know, and I'm still not. I'm not Jesse. I said that earlier, you know, but I just hope I can keep growing, you know, and I can see that, you know, I can, and at 23, I feel like I've got a lot of room left to grow, you know, but as far as, you know, that maturation process, I'm so glad that he taught me that and forced me kind of to do that. Because that's where I done my growing. You know, some people do their growing in the pro class. I feel like I done a lot of my growing as an amateur, which saved me a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. So that you were in the open classes, you were shooting there. When did you switch to known and why?
College, again, I was an open A. And when I was a kid, you know, back to that, the only avenue to be a pro was to judge distance. And so at 5 years old, I don't think the kids judge distance anymore. I could be wrong. But at five, I had to learn how to judge distance.
No kidding.
Which is absurd, you know. Yeah. But me and my dad would stand out there and we would judge targets at five, you know. But it was the only avenue. And so he wanted it just as bad as I did. You know, my dad wanted it just as bad as I did. And so we would stand out there and we'd judge, and that's all I'd ever known. Well, then, you know, when I went to school, I went to college, I just didn't have the time to put in judging distance like I knew it took, you know. And it's really tough. And I know, and all these other guys know. But I'm like, okay, you know, and that's about the time. It seems like it lined up perfect, you know. But that's about the time that Known Pro started catching traction. I think then it was called Known 50, you know, and the sponsors were just picking up. And I'm like, man, you know, maybe I'll try this. And I had a friend, Chris Hammonds. He used to pick on me so much. And he said, man, you're too good to be judging yardage, which is dumb. But that's what he always told me. He said, you can't judge yardage. Why don't you just shoot your bow? You know, you don't have any time. And so again, back to the first ASA, that's where I love that first tournament. It's just a reset button for me. That's the year I went through the year in Open B, because then it was half and half. And so I go out the first day in Open B and I'm in like 16th place. Struggled judging distance. And then the second day was known. I think I shot 28 up on the known distance.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And so I was out of contention the first day judging distance. I shot like even. And then the second day shot 28 up. And I'm like, whoa, this is fun, man. And after that, that's, you know, I'm like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can shoot this known stuff. And now to judge yardage, like I can't even possibly fathom going out and trying to figure out how far they are. You know, oddly enough, you know, when you're raised up on something, I miss it. And occasionally, you know, my dad still judges distance, and he don't travel as much as he used to, you know. But we'll still go out and we'll judge yardage. And I'm like, oh, I do not want to do this ever again. But yeah, that's how it gets started. You know, just kind of like a lack of time, but also kind of like, okay, I'm going to try this, you know?
Right. So you were going to Union College, obviously, to get your degree is it in biology, or do they have a teaching degree?
No. So I'm actually certified in English. I was an English major. Yeah. And I just, you know, I was looking for a job.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. Cool. Yeah. And so English education, 7 through 12, but I was looking for a job freshly graduated, and they had the science position, and they're like, okay, we don't have an English job, but we'll get you in. And so they gave me the biology job because nobody else applied. I'm like, dang, you know, good. And so on the fly, yes, because it's funny, everybody's made fun of me all year, but it's not like even being out of school, because every night I'm having to refresh my mind and learn all the stuff that I'm going to teach the next day. I've been one day ahead all trimester trying to get my notes. And so I'll make my PowerPoint, my presentations every night, one day ahead of teaching the kids in class. Yeah. Cause let me say, I am not a biology major. Now, I'm a biology teacher.
Yeah. But yeah.
That was not my major.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So that's got to be impressive. All right. So you have to learn the subject to present it to the students while you're also having to, I'm imagining, shooting archery. How do the two of those work together?
for me, you know, I'm very blessed because, you know, it seems like my entire life I've had time to practice. And that's one reason I wanted to be a teacher. You know, as a teacher, most of the time I'm home by 3:15, you know. I come home and I'll shoot my bow till dark most days. You know, when obviously I have other responsibilities, but I'll shoot my bow till dark. And that's just half of what the rest of the field's done, you know. But I'll shoot my bow till dark, and then I come in, and you have a, you know, I get my notes together, I get my next day ready, you know. And it, but, you know, I'm very blessed. I can't say that I don't have time to shoot because I'm very, very blessed to be able to practice. I have a lot of time to practice.
So then, as if that wasn't enough for you, you decided to start a NAS program at your school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that, because I like, you tell me. I know what part I like about it, but you go ahead.
So I never really fooled with NAS bows. It was just something I had never done. You know, they had it at my school. I graduated from the same school I'm teaching at, which is Harlan County. And they had the stuff, and there had been the occasional team. There had been the occasional coach, but nobody, you know, in and ready to roll. And so my superintendent and my principal, they're like, well, you shoot bows, you should do this. And I'm like, well, I'm like, sure, you know, I shoot bows, but I don't know anything about this. You know, I didn't know how to register for a tournament. I didn't know how to shoot the bows. I mean, you know, it's a bow and arrow. I knew I could figure it out. But, you know, so I took the job, and I'm like, you know, like, I was almost kind of dreading it, but I realized there was a huge opportunity for the kids here, around here, you know. And I'm like, okay, whatever I do, I'm the type of person, I want to be the best at it, you know. So I'm like, you know, I called them down, and I'm like, all right, here's what we want, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I want to win. And so I had about 25 kids that were interested. Well, at the time, I had no idea that we'd have to practice before school. And I know you've seen Jesse's post, you know. And so we talked, blah, 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 and I'm like, okay, so the only time we can practice is at 6 a.m. to 7:30 before school. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. And at this time, I'm getting excited for my team because I've got all these kids interested. And I'm like, oh, man, it's going to take their heart. And so the first day, and you know, I pulled in at about 5:30, and I got all my equipment ready, and I'm waiting. I'm like, man, nobody's going to show up. I was already disheartened, you know, because I know how high school kids are. And I'm sitting here waiting, you know, and one, two, three, and I had 18 kids my first practice.
Man.
I'm like, man, what is
6
this?
6 a.m.
You know, so I'm fired up. You know, I go in, I'm giving them a big speech. You know, I'm ready to roll. And ever since then, I think we have our first tournament on April 2nd, and my kids are super, you know, they're super stoked. But it sounds crazy, you know, but I think I'll be just as nervous watching my kids compete as I will be at Fort Benning next month because, you know, it just makes you so – and I'm young too, and I can't imagine at 16 getting up before school and driving to practice, you know. And I look at these kids, you know, they're there early. They're – not to mention they have to pull – we've got, you know, ball goes inside of our practice area. We have to clean our entire space out every single day we practice before we practice and then put it back up, you know. And it's honestly amazing to see those kids and their heart, you know. And they took their ACT today and – you know, I was wishing them good luck this morning. I said, would you guys want to cancel practice tomorrow? I said, you know, you're going to be tired. They all looked at me like, no, we don't want to cancel practice. You know, and I'm like, oh, all right, I'll be there bright and early, you know.
That's but
it's,
awesome.
It's been awesome. It's been awesome to see. And, you know, for me, like I said, I had no idea college archery was a thing a year before I was on campus. And that's what I've told these kids, you know, there's opportunities to be had. And I live in a very small town. And Appalachian, you know, there's not opportunities like there is in other places, you know. But us good old boys like to shoot bows, you know. And you can go to college to shoot a bow. Who would have thunk, you know? And that's what I told them. I'm like, man, and these kids, you know, I can see their wheels turning. It's like, man, you know, we got a chance. And it's like, for me, I can see myself because, you know, my dream started early. I was very fortunate to have parents to get me. You know, who would have thought you shoot an ASA tournament and get a college education from it, you know? But that's what I told these kids. I'm like, man, you know, for the first time, you've got something to look forward to, something to try to achieve, and a goal and a dream, you know? And for me, it's just cool to try to watch and try to see these kids grow and maybe, you know, hopefully some of them get a scholarship and I can say, hey, man, good work, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the ball sports have that, but not everybody, that's not what they are good at or not what they excel at. And to have archery just as another option, I mean, that is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where you are in Kentucky, do you shoot a lot of the local ASA, or do you just kind of save it up for the nationals, or how does that work?
I do shoot, you know, and again, things have changed because when I was young, there was a ton of tournaments. We had 3 or 4 or 5, 6 tournaments every weekend around us, you know, and now the local scene's kind of died down, you know, tremendously. We've got an indoor range in Richmond, which is 2.5 hours from me. And then a 3D range in Morristown, Tennessee, which is about 2.5 hours from me. And so where I'm at, you know, there's no local contention, and it's really hard. That's one thing I miss, because I see these other guys on Facebook, they're practicing with this, and I'm like, man, you know, that would be super cool to get to drive 30 minutes and get to practice with somebody that's just as good as I am, you know. And unfortunately, you know, for whatever reason here lately, there's just not a whole lot of local contention, you know, and that's what I've talked to my friends. I'm like, man, when I was young, I remember my dad, he would shoot somewhere every Saturday morning and every Sunday morning before church, every weekend. He had somewhere to go, you know? And now it's like, you know, there's just, I'm blessed. I've got targets and I can shoot here, but you know, and I know that is not the same as getting to go and compete with other people. You know,
I'm world champion of my backyard. I can't do anything when other people are around. So like you mentioned, some of those other guys, like I see Kevin Dukes, he starts posting, you know, things about tournaments, like in December, he's shooting 3D already down there in Florida. So yeah, there are some places where it's crazy that they just have all that opportunity there. So you won out of K50. So then 2 years ago, you said this is your third year as a pro. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, you come in, you're going to go known pro. This is what you wanted to do. You said you were nervous. How do you work through that? What did you do to get over that?
I didn't, I just accepted that I was going to struggle, you know, and that's really, really, really hard for me because I hate losing. And like I've told you about, you know, as an amateur, I hate it so bad. And I put in a lot of work. And so to see it, quote unquote, fail me at the tournaments, you know, I could stand in my yard and shoot these scores all day long, you know, but until the last couple of years, you know, last year I picked up some steam and now this year it's like, hey, there's Calvin. That's the Calvin we know, you know, but you get to an event and that fails you and you're like, man, you know. But it's just, as I said earlier, it's that maturation process. It's like, okay, I accepted then that I could fail and get better. I'll accept now that I can fail and get better. And let me say, again, this is not popular. I've not, you know, dreams. And when you start when you're 5, it's different than the guys who start for a couple of years and have instant success. You know, I have been up and down mentally, you know, and it takes a toll on me. And it's crazy because people here, you know, my friend, they have no clue. You know, I'm like, oh my God, you know, you kill yourself and they don't understand the emotional toll it takes on you, you know? And there's been several times where I'm like, I'm not going back. I'm hanging it up and I'm quitting.
Really?
And but I don't mean it. I don't ever want to quit, you know, but you know, and even as far as this, you know, this year at Vegas, I shot absolutely terrible. I mean, not just being my terrible. And so I get on the plane and I put my headphones in and I'm, gosh, you know, I think a lot. I'm a thinker. I'm like, what am I going to do to get better? And I couldn't think of anything. You know, I'm like, I don't know. I was just at a loss. And I came home and I talk about my dad a lot, but he's my idea, man. You know, he's been my coach and my buddy all these years, you know, my archery mentor, you know. And I'm like, what do we do? He said, I don't know, you know. And I'm like, well, that's good.
You know, thanks. Thanks, coach.
And so, you know, for the 2 weeks before Foley, I'm just beat down. I'm like, man, you know, and I'm sure everybody gets there. Not everybody will admit it, but I'm sure everybody gets there. I'm beat down. I'm like, I don't know. You know, like I told you in the interview, I didn't think I could shoot 20 up for the weekend.
Yeah, right.
And so this has happened so many times. And I told you, you know, I prayed. I'm like, Lord, you know, I've asked this before, but I said, Lord, you know, you've showed me signs before, and I believe that, you know, that I'm meant to shoot a bow. I believe in that, you know. And I'm like, you're going to have to show me some sort of sign that I'm meant to do this. And I got my sign this weekend.
You sure did.
gospel truth. I stood in my yard, and I told my buddies on the way down, I had target panic so bad. Seven or eight days before Foley, I've got a round bell in my backyard. And I came home from Vegas, and I pulled out a hard release, release just to make me work through it. And I missed the target because I flipped so bad and shot an arrow over my house. Wow. 8 days before I won at Foley. And I didn't change anything. You know, it was just,
yeah.
I'm a firm believer. Sometimes, you know, it's just meant to be. And I'm not that good, man. I'm really not. I'm not that good of a bow shooter. But so many times in my career, it's just like, poop, it just falls into place. About that. You know? And it's, I can't explain it.
Do you shoot a lot of indoor? You said you went to Vegas. How many times have you done that?
This was my second time going, first time as a pro. And I shoot a lot, but there's, again, my first Vegas round was my freshman year of college. Now, all those years of shooting, I had no idea that shooting a Vegas round was even a big deal. You know, I'm like, well, whatever, I don't shoot that crap, you know. And so I go to school, and I had to shoot it. So I'm like, oh, I want to try to win, you know. And so I throw up a face, and I have won shooter of the year five times, blah, 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 and I throw up a face. And I shot a 287 on a Vegas face. And I'm like, oh, man. And so from that day forward, it's just been my enemy. You know, it's been my nemesis. And I have certainly got better than a 287. But still, you know, 5 years later, I can shoot a decent score at home. Like you say, I'm a world champion at home. But I haven't broke through those barriers on the indoor side of things like I have in 3D. You know, when I go to a 3D event, I get nervous, but I can still shoot 12s a lot of times. You know, I can't explain that. I don't know what I do different on a tapir at 51 yards than I do on a Vegas face at 20, but there's a difference. I don't know what it is, but there's a difference. You know,
Tim Gillingham always says about indoor, he's like, oh yeah, you want to see what you can do? Shoot an indoor round.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It'll really hurt your feelings, you know, but I haven't done a lot in the past, but this year I shot Lancaster and Vegas, and from now on, as long as I'm able, I'll shoot indoor. And if I never win one, who cares? You know, I enjoy it. I really do. I enjoy it.
So, for you shooting known distance or shooting the known pro class, what is your kind of your? I've heard some different ways that you guys play the game as far as aiming center and, you know, adding yardage to go upper. What do you do? Do you aim right at the 12 ring? Can you see it?
No. That's another thing. You're probably going to laugh, but I'm legally blind in my left eye. I can't even make out the cores on the target. So these cats that are saying they can see 12 rings at 40 yards, I'm like, oh, good for you. You know, I can't see them. And quite frankly, I don't play a super aggressive game. How I shot 52 up, I don't know. But I'm just being honest, you know. But I, you know, as I said, I grew up shooting unknown distance, and so my dad was huge. There wasn't YouTube videos and Jack Wallace tutorials, and when I was growing up, you know. But we always, you know, my dad always talked about range management, range management, range management. And so as an unknown shooter, that's super important. You know, I would go out. If you could hit 15 tens and 5 12s, you're in pretty good shape, you know? And so I've learned how to incorporate range management into being aggressive. And so, no, I'm not uberly aggressive because I'm of the belief I would rather stay in the 10 ring and shoot 10 12s around as to try to shoot 15 12s around and shoot a bunch of eights to go with it. You know, that's just because, again, I'm not good enough to go out there and aim at all of them. You put me on a 50-yard target in my yard, I'm not going to hit it 10 out of 10 times. So why would I sacrifice points to do something that I can't even do in the yard, you know? So, now, you can't shoot 52 up not aiming at 12s. Don't get me wrong. I aim at 12s, but I'll build some yardage in my tape, and I pick my poison, you know? I like to stay 5 targets ahead of the game. And by that, I mean, I'll look down, and I'm like, okay, I'm on a 49-yard turkey here. I've got a 28-yard deer next. why would I shoot myself in the foot on this turkey and then go 12 the deer? Okay, then they're canceled out. Whereas if I 10 the turkey, I can 12 the deer and we got something to work with, you know. Now, that's a lot of thinking, but that's the unknown in me, you know. Yeah. I told my buddies, you know, there's some weekends where I feel like I'm 5 steps ahead of the game. There's some weekends where I'm like, oh gosh, why did I shoot an 8? What am I doing? You know, and I'll shoot an arrow and I'm like, I didn't even think about it. I just shot an 8. I don't, you know, but perfect day when everything's working, you know, that's, I'm a range manager. You know, yeah. I go out, I try to stay in the hunt. If I can be around 5th on the leaderboard, count me happy, you know, and then I'll try to do my work on the second day. You know?
You're the first person I've talked to in known pro who I've heard talk about range management. Everybody else, I just hear aim at the 12, aim at every 12. That's it. That's interesting to hear that process. I mean, to me, that makes sense because I feel like I would be in the same boat. I'm not Christopher Perkins. I can't hit, the upper on a 50-yard coyote. It's not going to happen.
And the crazy thing is, and I'm not Chris Perkins either, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm comfortable with who I am. I know I'm not a 30X shooter, you know, but I am a 3D shooter, you know, and I know how to work a course. And so I try to let my mind – my competition, you know, and now does it always work? You can look at the scores and say, no, it doesn't because you know, what happens a lot of times is you'll shoot 6 10s in a row and then you're 4 up after 10 targets and you're beat, you know, in our class, if you get behind, what are you going to do to make it up? You have to hit 12s, you know, and it's not every weekend I can go out and hit 17. God knows that, you know, but it's like, you know, but when you're playing that game, sometimes you get lucky. You know, you get lucky. And so there's been times where I'll add a half a yard and dip bang and hit a 12. And I'm like, well, I'm winning this weekend, you know, just because that's just the way I play the game. You know, I'm not overly aggressive. I try to, it's a game of chess, you know, it's a chess match.
I saw, I remember being at Fort Benning one time and Jeff Hopkins and Dan McCarthy were shooting together and Dan shot a really good first day. So they were peer grouped for day two and he shot and he hit, Jeff had an arrow perfectly dead center in the IBO. Dan shot it. He hit off the back and it kicked him into a 12 and Jeff turned and looked at him. And he said, oh, it's going to be one of those days, huh? You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Whatever the yardage was, he judged it the same as Jeff, but he got that luck.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, man, you know, I'm not a veteran by any means, but I've shot ASAs for 18 years, you know, and there's some weekends where just like London last year, you know, that's one of those down times for me. I'm up and down a lot, you know, mentally. And last year at London, I was peer group with Chris Perkins and Robert House. I was shooting really well. And I think with 5 targets to go, I was 2 points out of the lead. And, you know, I'd only made one shoot down. I was kind of in the same situation I was at Foley. And I lost a Fletching with 5 targets to go and shot a blank. And so
missed.
Some weekends, yeah. I broke on the 12. You know, I was like, I think I was 38 up or something. And some weekends are like Foley. But now you got to be very, very thankful for those because at any time you can have one of those London weekends too, you know. And again, you know, instead of letting that kill you, and I, you know, for young people and people that's coming up, you know, I was the type of person, even now, even last year, it killed me, you know, but you have to learn and you just have to go and say, okay, I was good enough to be with Chris Perkins at 38 up 2 points out of the lead. Why can't I do that again? You know, instead of thinking, oh, my stupid Fletching fell off, you know, of course I did. Don't think I didn't come home and cut them all off, but with that said, you know, I've learned to take the good with the bad and be very, very thankful. That's my thing. You know, I can sit here and be cocky and act like I'm the greatest shooter in the world. I'm just thankful for a good weekend because I know I've been in it long enough to know there's few and far between where everything works out for you.
What is it that – so you've been shooting ASA for 18 years. What is it that you like about it that you would describe to somebody, you know, up here, I'm from Pennsylvania, basically from like here north, the ASA is not well known. This is IBO country. There may be like I think there's two clubs in Pennsylvania that shoot sanctioned ASA. But then you go down south and, man, people like you just shoot ASA, love it. And for somebody who doesn't know about it, what is it that you love about the ASA? Clearly you do.
Well, you know, it's always been a big part of my life, you know. And I've said before, to not shoot a bow would be like, you know, what am I going to do?
What am I going to do
in the evening? Yeah, you know. But it's just the camaraderie. You know, I've got friends. Everybody calls, you know, my buddies all say I'm a politician at the events, but it's not that. I've just met so many people, man, that are genuine, good people, you know. And that's a very hard thing to find. But when you go to an ASA event, you've got 2,000 people who are just like you, you know. And even when I go to an indoor event, it's not the same feeling. It's not the same vibe. I don't know why. A lot of the same people were there. But when you go to an ASA and you're grouped up with five dudes that you've never met from Alabama, and you sit down, you're all drinking Mountain Dew and eating beef jerky, it's like, man, you know, everybody wants to hang out with somebody that's like them, you know. And the ASA, 2,000 people who are just like me, you know. And so you go, you chill, and you shoot, and everybody there wants to beat you, and you want to beat them. But at the end of the day, you shake their hand, and you're like, man, it's good to meet you. You had each other on Facebook, and you're friends forever, you know. For me, and quite frankly, I just don't feel that at indoor events. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll get more comfortable. But I'm just so uptight and nervous and tore up. You know, it's a different kind of feeling, you know. And I think it's just, for me, from my point of view, I'm just so comfortable shooting ASA that it's just, now, of course, I want to win. Absolutely. I'm very competitive. But at the same time, you know, just to throw my old stool on my shoulder and smell the barbecue and the vendors, it's like, you know, that's enough for me. You know, I love it. It's what I love. You know, I mean, that's what I grew up doing with my dad. It's just, that's what I love.
So this last one here in Foley, of course, that was on the Sportsman's Channel. Back home, where were you hearing, like, did people know ahead of time that you were in the shoot down? I'm sure a lot of them did. Was word spreading around, like, hey, everybody tune in tonight, Calvin's on there?
Yeah, it blew my mind, to be honest, because, you know, I want to say, hey, guys, I've been doing this forever, you know, but it seems like everybody watched this one. And I don't know if it's because part of it's because of you guys. So thank you. It's awesome. Because I watch everything you guys put out, you know. Even now, I watch everything you put out just because that's what I do. You know, people want to watch it if I, you know. But, you know, it was different this time. And I, you know, I've shot, you know, on YouTube, TV, whatever. But this time was different. And I don't know. I mean, when I came outside, I'm like, whoa. You know, I look at my phone, I'm like, what in the world, you know? And it was, for me, that's very, very cool. You know, I love that because not that I wanted recognition, but, you know, it's a pretty dang good feeling when everybody you know is watching it, you know, and rooting for you. And I've got a very, very good support system.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, I think that's what I enjoyed the most was seeing, I could see that the community that you're in, the school district and all that, that they were excited that one of their own was on this big stage. And I guess I hadn't seen another community embrace that, you know, as they did with you, that it was like, hey, you know, make sure you watch this tonight. Our high school bio teacher's on there. And then, of course, when you won, hey, he won. I mean, I just thought that was cool to see that community support for you, which then is support for archery, you know.
And our county, you know. Just like I said, there's not much to root for here, man. You know, and it's awesome just to be a part of something like that because, you know, we're close-knit, you know. My church family, you know, I got to church on, because I made it back to church on Sunday, the Saturday night week. Yeah. And my church family was just so excited. I'm like, what's no wonder I won. I had everybody here praying for me. You know, it was just, it was different. And still right now, you know, people are still texting me and it's like, it's been different than anything that I've ever won, you know, and it's all I ever expected and more. And I know that seems corny, you know, especially to people that don't realize. And archery's not, we all know what it is, you know, it's not that big, but to me, it's everything. You know, to me, it's like, this is what five-year-old me walking out of that stadium that night, grinning with his checks, wow, it would have been worth it all. You know, it's just, it feels dang good to have support and to have my people behind me, man. It was awesome.
How was it for your dad? I know your dad, you had mentioned that you texted your dad in the middle of that round when you shot 52 up, or well, you shot 34 up for the day. It was 52 for the weekend, but on your 34 up day. So then you tell your dad, hey, I'm in the shoot down. What was that like for him watching that shoot down?
Well, first off, he was mad he wasn't there, but that was his fault. But he was, you know, he was just so happy. And like I said, you know, we've been in this thing together, and I've told this story to a few of my other friends, but it kind of came full circle for both of us. I told you, you know, I always felt like I was meant to shoot a bow, and so did he. My dad's a pastor, you know, we're religious people. I don't think I've tried to hide that much, but, you know, right before I was offered to go to college, like I said, we didn't know that was an opportunity. You know, I'm 16 years old, almost 17. I'm struggling to win, just you know, kind of chewing bricks. And my dad, and this is going to be hard to believe, but it's the truth. And I've told my friends this, and I've stood on this for years. My dad was in his bedroom on a Sunday morning praying, and he said, "Lord," you know, it's one of those stories, you know. He said, "Lord, I just need a sign that we're supposed to keep doing this." And he said, at that moment, he heard somebody knocking on the door. And he walks through the living room here in my house, and it's hard for me to even tell it. But he said he opened the door, and a guy, you know, that had no idea that we, you know, to think that we were going to quit was, you know, we don't talk about things like this. But he said that guy had a brand new Matthews in his hand, and that guy had no clue. And he had a brand new Matthews in his hand, and he said, "I don't know why, but," he said, "I feel like bringing this to you because you all need to keep doing this."
And for real?
Yeah, and from that day forward, you know, about 3 months after that, 3 to 6 months after that is when I got offered a scholarship. And, you know, every time I've kind of got down and out and thought, you know, maybe I can't win, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe there's something more that I'm, you know, I'm wasting all this time. I go back to that day because that means something to me.
That's, you know, amazing.
That's not a coincidence, you know, and
you didn't know him.
Shooting a bow.
You guys didn't know this guy.
We knew the guy.
Oh, you did. Okay.
But he had no idea what we were, you know, and my dad had never once discussed with me that he was ready to quit and stop doing it. You know, that would have broke my heart, but you know, it's a lot to do this, you know, and it was a lot. But from that day forward, I've realized, you know, necessarily want to be remembered for shooting a bow. I feel like what I'm in it for is bigger than shooting a bow. You know, right now, you know, I'm getting to tell a story that people are probably not going to believe, you know, but at the same time, you know, that's what we stood on, you know, and it just, man, when it come full circle, you know, the picture of me fist bumping, you know, all of those emotions, I got in the truck at night and I just cried, man, because it's like all of those doubts, all that fear I felt, the nerves over the years, and it just all, it's like,
there it is right there.
Yeah, there it is.
You know, it's funny. Levi Morgan tells a story about how he got to a point where he was like, man, this is costing my family a lot of money. I don't know if I should be doing this. You know, he's like, well, one more tournament. We'll see how it goes. If something happens there, maybe I'm supposed to do it. And then he won that tournament. And now, yeah, of course, he's Levi Morgan.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. But it's just, man, when it came full circle, it's just, it's everything, you know. And that's what's most important to me is, again, back to that maturation process. Those are the things I have grown as a human, as a man, as a Christian.
For sure.
Through shooting a bow. You know, you go out in the yard and you're throwing stuff and acting like a fool because of, you learn, you know, you grow up. It's given me an opportunity to learn how to fail. And it's not fun. Believe you me, it's not been fun failing. But at the same time, you know, I could sit here and say, oh, I worked so hard for this. Well, of course I have. But it's not me, man. I'm just a very, very, very blessed human in every aspect of my life.
So what's that like for you when you come in? I think you had a 6-point lead going into the shoot down. You come out on the field there. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? I would be thinking, I'd be like, oh, man, I just don't want to blow this lead. But what's that like for you? What are you thinking?
I was confident. You know, And now, Michael, he made it hard on me. But I thought if I can just keep him in the 10 and hit a couple 12s, I'll be okay. But hitting 12s was not an option for me out there. It was very, very, very hard. Because I was just, you know, and that's the thing. And that when you're like me and you've done it for so long, it's not everybody always just process over a moment. Well, that's cute in theory. But when you're in the biggest moment of your archery career, you know, it's like, how in the world am I gonna do this, you know? And I was just hoping, I'm like, okay, if I can just keep these things in the 10, if I can just keep them in the 10, I'll have a chance, you know? And then when it came down to the last shot, I'm like, if he hits a 12, I'm beat. I cannot hit a 12. You know, I'm not like these other guys, you know, that, and every coach in the world would say, well, don't think that. Well, okay, tell me how not to, you know? I'm like, if he hits this 12, I'm done, you know? and so I don't think I was glad he shot an 8, but when he shot an 8, you know, I'm like, okay, I can hit a 10, you know, and then I just got back and it was like butter, you know, it was easy on that last one. But when I walked out, and last year I didn't enjoy it like I should have, but this year I tried to enjoy it, you know, and I had a coach one time, he told me, he said, you're going to have to start enjoying this stuff because it's not always going to be there for you, you know, and that's hard. But and if I never win another one, I can honestly say I've enjoyed this one. I've soaked it in. You know, I've not come home and killed myself thinking, how am I going to do it again? I've just enjoyed it, you know, because if I never get to do it again, that's fine. You know, now I want to win.
You want to do it again.
yeah. But at the same time, you know, you have to enjoy it. You have to. And for these other guys, you know, Dan's won 6 in a row. He's probably, it's a different story for him, you know. But for me, I just want to enjoy this stuff, man. I want to soak this in because I've worked for this and dreamed about it my whole life. I'm soaking it in. I'm going to enjoy it. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Do you tell, like, I'm sure you share that thought process with your students, with the kids in your NASP and probably kids in your class as well. Because, I mean, that can translate to life in any arena, whatever you're doing.
Oh, yeah, and I always say, before I say this sounds corny, but, you know, some of the guys I grew up with, they were never allowed to have a dream, you know, and it wasn't that they didn't have one. I'm sure everybody has a dream here and there, but they were never allowed to pursue that, you know, and that's what I tell my students all the time. With archery, almost anybody that I encounter can be a pretty dang good bow shooter, you know, and so if you want to do this, let's do this thing, you know, and same as in the classroom, you know, every day, that's why I love being a teacher, because I get to deal with kids that were just like me, you know, and I'm like, you know, follow your dreams, have something, you know, let's get motivated. Let's change the narrative of our little hometown here. We don't have to follow suit, you know, let's be somebody different, you know, and that's all for my parents, you know, because they've given me the opportunities to do that. You know, I wasn't just born. I always say I'm a dreamer. I wasn't born that way, you know. That was instilled in me, you know. And my dad and my mom, you know, they're the same way. They're the same way. They're ambitious people, you know. They push me and they force me to be who I am.
Yeah.
You know.
So now looking ahead for archery, I know you said, hey, if it never happens again, you'll be happy. But I'm sure somewhere in your mind, you probably have a few goals. What are they?
I want to win Shooter of the Year. You know, because again, back to the cocky 14, 15 year old, I always told Dad, I'm like, you know, by 18, I'm going to win Shooter of the Year. You know, Levi Morgan, you know, he was everybody's hero, but he was my idol, you know. And so to look at him and the things he'd done, I'm like, okay, I want to be the next Levi. That's what I wanted to be. Well, that didn't pan out, you know. I just a kid, you know, I didn't know, but I'm a school teacher now, blah, 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 but I can see things unfolding differently, but all the same as I thought they might, you know. And I want to take the game further. Now, you asked me, I would love to win Shooter of the Year. That's the first thing that popped in my mind. That's my immediate goal. But at the same time, you know, I watched the Bassmasters Classic this weekend. The guy that won, Jason Christie, won $300,000. That's huge. You know, archery can be bigger. And that, you know, that's something me and Jesse talked about. archery can be bigger for the next generation than what it was for Calvin. You know, it can be. It can be. They're just like with you guys. You guys are doing something that is absolutely awesome, and it's professional, and it's perfect. And it can be bigger. You know, being on TV, this stuff can be bigger. And for me, when I'm 50, I would like to think back to this podcast and say, I helped grow archery. You know, I helped do that for the next generation, you know, for the next Calvin that comes up and wins his first shoot. You know, I would like to see it grow into something bigger for the next generation. Now, will it? I don't know. You know, can it? I certainly think it can. I think there's enough interest. I think there's enough people that we can make this thing bigger than it is now.
Some people have different opportunities than others do. And just, I always love it when I said one time, for me, it's a privilege to see good people do great things.
At the end of the day, we're just bow shooters. That's where people get so mixed up, man. We're just bow shooters.
All right. That is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Calvin Gross, we certainly appreciate your time today. It was great getting to hear your story.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to tell my story. Glad to be on here. Hopefully get to do it again.
Absolutely. All right. The Competition Archery Media Podcast, you can find that on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks for joining us today.